This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the, Wednesday, July 30th edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you being with me today. And we had some interesting news out. The GDP numbers are out today. This is going to be a big economic report week, especially on Friday. That's when a flood of information comes out, including the job market. But we still had some pretty meaningful events today. And we're going to talk about those here before the end of the show. I do want to mention that a couple things came out of the EU and U.S. against Russia. The sanctions are tightening sanctions, and most of the EU stock exchanges are down between 0.5% and 1% for the day. And it's going to cost, we're going to talk about those sanctions later on, but it's going to cost, some money. It's going to cost some bucks. And it's going to cost more damage in Europe to their economy. They're already fairly weak, even though a couple of a good report come out of, was it Spain, I think, today. They had about 0.5% second quarter GDP growth. But 0.5%? 0.5%. Okay, that's not very much. It's not. So Europe is fairly weak. And sanctions against Russia, because Russia is a big trading partner of Europe, it's going to affect them a lot more than it affects us. So, you know, there's going to be some interesting fallout here about that. So we don't know. No one really knows. Anyways, we're going to talk about a number of things on the air on the show today. We're going to talk about Jerry Grantham's investing advice. Don't try to be Warren Buffett. Not very smart. It's just not going to help you trying to be Warren Buffett. You and I can't be Warren Buffett. Let's just admit that. Okay, so now what do we do? So we're going to talk about that during the show. Also, how are the earnings doing? We're in the earnings season, the middle of it. Half the earnings or so have been reported. How's they doing? Do you have any clue? Because it's not really on the headline news. More talking about what's going on in Israel and the Palestinian conflict there. And then the Russia supplying missiles and taking over, trying to take over the Ukraine. I know people don't say that they're going to try to take over Ukraine, but that's what they're doing. Russia's trying to build up its version of the old USSR. That's what Putin is doing, and it's kind of obvious if anybody wants to pay attention. He's just not doing it overtly. He's trying to do it covertly. Kind of reminds me of what happened in World War II when Hitler, I'm not saying he's Hitler, I'm just saying, but that was his method. His methodology was to deny doing anything wrong, take over countries. He was taking over Austria. His reason for taking over Austria, because there's a lot of Germans there, and he wanted to protect the Germans that were there at the time. And doesn't that sound like what Putin says about the Ukraine? Want to protect the Russians there? Same kind of tactic. Just kind of interesting how that history repeats itself in that way. Anyways, we're going to talk about that, and then, of course, that gets to the Russian sanctions. I also want to talk about one out of three Americans have debt collectors after them. One out of three. Doesn't that seem shockingly high to you? It does to me, but I don't, you know, it's one out of three. I want to talk about, what does that really mean to the consumer? Remember, our economy is consumer driven. And if you have 33% of all consumers being chased by debt collectors, that means they're not able to spend the money on other things too easily. So I think it'd be something we need to talk about. And I want you to forget about the iPhone 6 and the iWatch. Those are big items coming out later here. But there's something else going on at the iPhone that, man, oh, man, that could be a much bigger deal. Much bigger deal. It's not a new device either. But it may be a much bigger deal for Apple. Didn't change the way you do things, by the way. And I thought of this some time ago, why someone hasn't done this, and now they're going to do it, and I think that'd be important to talk about. So what happened in the market today? The Dow was down 32 points. The Nasdaq was up 20, and the S&P was up 0.12%. Talk about, you can't get much of a smaller advance. 0.12% in the S&P, so essentially flat. And have you looked at the markets over the last month, the month of July? Have you looked at, let's say, the S&P 500, because that's a pretty broad indicator. The S&P 500 is almost right where it started at the beginning of the month. Almost. Tomorrow's the last trading day. If you look at the Dow 30, they're below what they started. Or real close. I mean, it's just within pennies. I think it's below. And if you look at I like the Russell 2000 because that really is indication of the small cap stocks. Russell 2000, and that is strikingly below, down from July. July was a double top for the Russell 2000, and it fell back down. And strongly. So there's what the market's doing for the month of July. You really want to look at it longer term because day to day, as we talk about it every day, it really doesn't help you that much. It really doesn't tell you what's going on. So what are you doing about all this? What's on your plate? Are you still fully invested? Are you worried about the market? Because, frankly, the economic news has been pretty good this month. Okay, so you can't complain about the economic news. So why isn't the stock market rallying? Why isn't it going higher? What's wrong? Anyways, before we go any further, we talk about this show being a call-in show. This is your show. Whatever you want to do, whatever's on your mind, as long as it's financial, we'll talk about it. You can give us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number is 888-99-CHART. Here's a call that came in earlier.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. Thank you for your show. I have learned a lot. This is a question about smart stock purchasing techniques. I bought Alliance Fiber Optic, symbol AFOP, for about $17.70 last month. It's a small cap company with good fundamentals and a decent PE. This week they took a 20% plunge due to missed earnings estimates. I still believe in the company's prospects. Is it a good technique to buy more on bleeps like this if you still believe in the company's fundamentals or just wait it out? And can technical analysis help with a decision like this? Thanks very much. Bye.
Yeah, AMOS has been falling for the last 2 months from, and remember, I just talked about the small caps. This has been falling for 2 months. Alliance Fiber Optic manufactures connectors, adapters, multiplexers, splitters, couplers for telecom equipment and service providers. It's a small company, very small, $242 million market cap, and it is growing its sales quite rapidly, up 7% for this most recent quarter, June quarter. But that was below expectations. And March quarter, it grew over 100%. The quarter before that, 80%. Quarter before that, 80%. So it's pretty rapid growth. They were just disappointed with the most recent. The PE ratio is 11. It's a $13 stock. They're going to make $1.29 this year and $1.28 next year. And that I'm surprised at. If they're growing this fast, why aren't they earning more per share? What's the problem there? They are earning a lot. Don't get me wrong. They don't have any debt. Management owns 14%, and mutual funds are slowly buying the company. So it looks like an opportunity in the making to me, not something that you run from. Now, small caps are very, very volatile, and that you're experiencing the volatility. You have to understand and be accepting of that volatility. Okay, it has a very strong bottom, right around $12 a share. $11.90, $12 a share. Long, real strong, and it's at $13.14 today. You've already lived through a pretty deep fall from 22 down to 13 in 2 months. Depends on you. If you're a long-term investor, this would be something that you say, okay, I need to pick up some more here when it stops falling. But you got to wait till it stops falling. You don't buy it now. You wait till it stops the fall. Okay, and it will stop falling probably, you know, pretty soon. So if you own some, I'd hold on to it because it's already taken the big hit. And depending on how big it is in your portfolio. And then I would add to it if it does hold $12 and starts to move back up. I would add to it after that if it holds $12 and starts to move back up. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is Best Talk. The number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Give me a call.
Invest Talk continues on this Wednesday. Investor typecasting. Don't miss this topic on the next Invest Talk. And now we're ready for your question today, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, there's an article by Jeremy Grantham, Investing Advice. Don't try to be Warren Buffett. Okay, and the reason why you can't be like Warren Buffett, because number one, we don't have the resources. You don't have the resources to be like him. You don't have to be like him. Now, I would suggest strongly that you learn what he does and how he does it. Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, those guys, they're pretty smart. They're pretty smart in how they, you know, how they analyze stocks. And they buy when everybody else is selling. They're fearless. Warren Buffett can be fearless. One of the reasons why he can, because he constantly gets more money coming in from his insurance holdings that he can reinvest. He gets new money all the time. He has more money all the time that he tries to use. You don't have that. You don't have the ability to be Warren Buffett. Okay? It's just not what you can do, and I've done this, is just pay attention to what he does. You don't get to know exactly, but you know he does sell, but his philosophy is he wants to own the whole company. He wants to buy a company, own it forever. That's his philosophy. He does trade out of stocks though. Don't think he doesn't. He does. But there's certain industries and stocks he's had forever, like Coca-Cola. I mean, he owns See's Candy outright and has owned it for years and years and years. Berkshire Hathaway. They've owned it forever. Because he could have bought that because it was small at the time. So you just can't be like Warren Buffett. This can't be. Try not to think that you're able to do that. If you could, everybody would do it, right? Just can't do it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and give me a call. Again, 888-992-4278. Do we have a voicemail to go to first? Okay, we're going to go ahead and go to a voicemail before we take our break then. Go ahead.
This is Bill in Escondido. My question is, what do you think of Precision Drilling Corp., PDS, a small gas drilling company? I would like to know what you think of it. Thank you, sir.
Precision Drilling Corporation, that is a $3.8 billion company. So it's a small cap, not a really tiny one, but it's a small cap company. It's kind of on the movement, trying to move. You might want to argue that it might be into the mid-cap area, but it's still fairly small. Provides onshore drilling, well servicing, and auxiliary oil field services in Canada, U.S., and Mexico. Okay, it's going to make 81 cents this year, 98 cents next year. It is picking up its sales growth, and it has a current PE of 21 with a price of $12.97. And it's falling. It's been falling for over a month. You wait. I think you wait till it stops falling, just like the previous one you called. It will stop when it moves sideways and then starts up. You buy it. This one looks pretty healthy to me. The return on equity is a little low. And I'm not sure why management doesn't hold hardly any stocks. But mutual funds are buying. You know, it's been as low as a little bit below $9 this year. So here it is at 13, and it's got up as high as 14.50. So it's just having a normal pullback. Wait till it runs itself out, then you buy it. This is the Best Talk. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Chart. We thank you for subscribing to our podcast and listening every day. Proper diversification of a portfolio is one of the top guidelines of portfolio management that generally every portfolio manager would agree to. Read Steve's paper, Diversification. It's yours if you're an InvestTalk insider. Sign up. It's free on InvestTalk.com. As InvestTalk continues, we remind you of some of the resources available to InvestTalk insiders. For one, Steve has put together a short ETF list that you might find valuable. To get it, just sign up to be an InvestTalk insider. It's free. You can do it right now on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Give me a call. Love to talk to you. How are the earnings season? We're in the midst of the earnings season. After each quarter, we have earnings seasons. And I've talked to you off and on how they play the game of, you know, downgrading their earnings projections as the quarter goes along so they can make sure they beat the expectations when the earnings actually come out. And, of course, they play that game every quarter, and they played it this quarter. But how are we doing? Because we know everybody knows it. So, you know, so it's a matter of, okay, so we know you're going to beat the earnings estimates because you make sure you do. The experts make sure that they do. And then it's a question of degree, isn't it? How well are you doing? Well, so far about half the companies reported. And 74% have beat their estimates so far. And that's better than normal. Usually it's in the 60% beating the estimates. And this time it's 74. So they're doing much better because the corporations are doing better. The earnings growth rate is around 8.5%, and that's the best since 2011, the third quarter of 2011. Six out of the 10 sectors recorded improvement and upward revised their full-year estimates. So they look pretty good. Now let's make sure we take this all in a grain of salt now, because remember, first quarter we had shrinkage of GDP. They just revised that for the final time today. First quarter GDP shrunk at 2.1%. It was 2.9%, and it shrunk. Remember, they revised these GDP numbers 3 or 4 times. I mean, during the quarter. And the first report for the second quarter came out today at 4% increase, much better than expectations. Remember, we talked about it yesterday, that they were expecting, you know, 3.1, 3.2% growth, and they got 4%. Now, I want to just give you a little history on the first quarter's revisions, which I don't expect them to be in the second quarter. But if you remember right, their first initial report of first quarter GDP was up 1%. It was revised down up a month later, up 0.1%, and revised again to down 2.9%, down shrinkage. And then now, final revision down 2.1. So a huge move from 1% growth to shrinkage of 2.9 on the extremes. So that's a 3.9% swing from their initial report to their highest point and then to 2.1 shrinkage today. So this 4%, now we have the second quarter. So this 4% growth rate, you can have a plus or minus 3% swing. Did it in the first quarter. I don't think that's going to happen, by the way. But I just want to give you an example that the government is going to be wrong. These numbers are going to be revised. It could be higher than 4%. It could be lower than 4%. Okay? It can be dramatically different. And my gut feeling is it'd probably be a little lower. Maybe 1%, either way. Down to 3% or as high as 5%. I don't see it going up, though. I see it more being revised downward because the government is always a bit optimistic, just like expert analysts and everybody else out there. They're optimistic, and they shouldn't be. Okay, so don't expect the third quarter, which we're in now, to be as good as the second quarter. And remember, they're going to play the game again. Well, they'll revise, I'll tell you what it might be out, what we think, and then it's going to be revised downward, so they can beat the estimates. So don't get too excited about this. I in my annual letter to my clients, I said we're going to see maybe 2, possibly 2.5% full year GDP growth this year. And I'm still sticking with that. Unlike the government, I don't change my mind. Yeah, I think that's what's going to be. And that's okay. That's okay. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. You can call anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And here's a call that came in earlier.
Hi, this is Charlie from Modesto. I listen on the internet. I'm calling about an ETF. The ticker symbol is E as in Edward, Z as in Zebra, U as in Union, which is a fund on the Eurozone. And I bought a half a position earlier this year, and it had a fairly decent upward movement and now has broken trend line down. And what I'm thinking of is whether we have a situation where I should pick up the other half of my position in this, or I, given everything else that's going on with all this talk about a correction coming up, maybe sit a little longer and see if I can get maybe an even better price on the other half. So anyway, that's my question, and I'll look forward to your answer on the air. Thanks very much, Steve and Justin, and have a great day.
Okay, it's EZU. It is an exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the MSCI European Monetary Union market. So you're talking about the EU, European Union, and whether it's going to do well or bad. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's broken down trend line, as you point out, and broken below the 200-day moving average. And right now, economic numbers are looking a little bit better in Europe, but I think that is in the past. That's already built into this. It's already written. I think these sanctions in Russia are going to be problematic for the EU, and I can see them, unless they're removed quickly, these sanctions, and things change quickly, I think the better. I would probably not. I think you'll get it cheaper. If you want to buy more of this, wait. I think you wait. I think you'll get a cheaper price. EZU, that's the symbol. 888-99-CHART. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. And give us a call. You can call us anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, 888-992-4278.
Invest Talk. The moving average is a simple technical analysis tool that smooths out price data by creating a constantly updated average price. Got questions about it? 888-99-CHART is how to ask right now on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So we know about the Russian sanctions from the EU today, and of course the U.S. also announced new sanctions. They've been very, very meek and mild, and now these sanctions have a little bit more teeth in them. And it's really going to hurt EU so much more than it hurts us, because the EU is a big trading partner of Russia. I noticed that the sanctions specifically left out anything to do with natural gas, because Europe can't get along without Russia's natural gas. 25% of Europe's energy consumption is natural gas coming from Russia. They got to heat their homes. They got to heat their factories. They got to run their factories. So the U.S. and EU agreed to some more targeted sanctions. And they were focused on Russian energy, oil, not natural gas, defense, and finance sectors. Okay? And EU is going to stop exporting to Russia certain goods and technology. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt EU. This is going to be painful for them. It really is. U.S., we're going to stop all actions with certain banks. I think three major banks in Russia. We're going to stop any bonds, trading and stocks, any relationship. And, you know, that's not going to bother us one little bit. I mean, it really isn't. And so the question is, how's this going to affect the EU economy going forward? If these sanctions take hold and they continue, or if they get They broaden their sanctions. Or even if they don't, if they just continue with what they're doing now, that is definitely going to impact the EU. Already, Germany is showing shrinkage, or not shrinkage of their GDP, but a shrinkage of their growth of GDP. It's moving in the wrong direction. So there's issues. There's issues. And do you remember Yukos? Yukos. Yukos Energy, that's a big oil company back many years. And Kordorsky, I forgot his first name, was the owner and ran Yukos, which was their one of their largest oil companies. And that now is Russia's government-owned largest Resneft or something like that. Resneft. That used to be a private company called Yukos. Well, the Hague, there's been a complaint filed in the Hague by the shareholders of Yukos from the world. And the World Court in Hague has found that Russia wrongfully stole or took, or whatever you want to call it, the company, and owes the shareholders, listen to this, $50 billion. Now, of course, Russia's going to fight it. Of course, we all know that. But this is the world court. If this holds up, this will allow shareholders, and you don't think there will be class action lawsuits? Oh, yeah. Shareholders around the world to seize Russian assets to get that $50 billion. Pretty interesting, huh? That could be a big thing down the road. Things are getting tense between Russia and the West. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Let's go ahead and talk to Walter in Oceanside. How you doing, Walter?
Hi. Steve, I'm calling about DuPont.
Okay.
I noticed that in the past month it's sort of come down about 5 or 6%, and I was wondering if it's a opportunity to buy.
What's DuPont symbol?
Pick it up.
What's DuPont symbol?
Delta, Delta.
Oh, DD? Okay. Okay, let's look at DuPont. Okay, it has come down, and it's traded sideways for about a month, so look, and above the 200-day moving average. That this might be where you might want to pick it up. Let's take a look at the fundamentals. I was looking at the chart here first, but let's look at the fundamentals. Sure. Manufacturers, agricultural, food, building, communication, construction, electronics, and other products. You know, it's a big company, $60 billion company. It's growing slowly, 1 to 5% over this last year. But when they're that big, it's hard to grow much faster. Earnings look growing a little bit faster. They're going to make $4.02 this year, and then $4.64 next year. That looks pretty good. Meanwhile, though, since it's a real slow grower, big company, it generally doesn't trade with a high P.E. ratio. So right now the PE is 17, and the five-year range is 10 to 18. So it's not like cheap, Walter. Don't think it's cheap. It's pretty fairly priced. But at $4.64 next year, you know, if you can get a 15 PE, what is that, $60, $72 or so? Yeah. So if you get a normal market PD at 15, it'll be worth $72 or $65. Walter, if you really want to buy this, I would probably pick up half my position right here because it looks like it's finding support.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then if it falls to maybe $60, I'd buy the other half because this is one of those stocks you buy and you hold for a long time.
Yes.
Okay. It pays a nice dividend, 2.9%. So it's a really good company. I like it. It's one of those blue chip companies that can stay in your portfolio for a long time and you'll be fine.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Steve. That
thanks, Walter. Good. You know, these kind of companies, I'm sorry, what was that? Okay, these kind of companies are the kinds you pick up when they're on sale and you just hold them because they're so solid. And you really buy them for the dividend. And yeah, they'll go up and down in price, but generally they don't go up and down too dramatically. They can in a recession. They can, but they always generally recover. It might take a few years, but they will. So you really want to buy them when they're on sale if you can get them. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. You can call anytime you want. And here's a call that came in earlier.
Hey, guys. When you manage money for people, do you trade both ways? I have a money manager with a major investment brokerage, and they do not short anything. I have significant risk as the market breaks down, and I feel a good trader should be able to make money going up or going down in the market, and I want to know your feeling on that. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, yes, we do. Most large institutional money houses will not do that. Matter of fact, they require. Matter of fact, I saw some, you know, we were talking to one not too long ago, and they wanted us to go with them, and they gave us their restrictions. And one of the things they do not allow is one of the things that I think is something we should do, and that is buy the same stocks as the clients. They wouldn't allow it. You cannot buy the same stocks as a client. I buy them at the same time, same price as all my clients. I think that you put your money where your mouth is. So most institutions won't let you short because they want to support their companies in the market. Not they don't. Shorting means bet that it's going to go down or stock or index will go down. And yeah, we do that at KPP Financial, but you know, you got to really be careful in doing that. You got to kind of know what you're doing, and you know, you can be just as wrong going short as being long. But I like the freedom. Right now we're kind of straddling the market. We have, when the market's gone down the last couple of days, or they've gone sideways, we actually did okay. I mean, and our stock count moved up a little bit. The market goes down, we don't go down. Not in the way we're situated at this point. So the answer is yes, we go both ways. 888-99-CHART is our number. Let's go talk to Jerry in Utah. How you doing, Jerry?
Hey, good. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. Thanks for calling.
Wonderful. Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Your comments about Russia got me thinking again about natural gas.
Right.
And I've been looking at natural gas prices over the past few years, and there's been a steady decline in natural gas prices.
In the U.S.
Yeah, in the U.S.
Right.
And I used to hold this company from Monaco, Gaslog, and I bought it on the a breakout, I think a month ago, and made 11%, and things didn't look too good with things, so I sold it before it dropped, and it didn't really make a lot of sense to me why it dropped, particularly with the Russia, Ukraine sanctions, and the EU needing gas or natural gas, and Gaslog being such a provider.
What's the symbol?
Tanker provider.
What's the symbol?
G as in Gary, L as in Larry, O as in octopus, G as in gas.
Okay.
So it didn't make sense to me why it dropped. And I'd like to buy it again because I think it's got good fundamentals and technicals, but didn't know when it would be eventually a good time to pick it up again.
Okay. It owns and operates and manages a fleet of 12 LNG, liquefied natural gas carriers. And I do think that that sector is going to be more and more popular because I think the EU is finally waking up to the fact that they can't necessarily rely on Russia. Russia's kind of still a rogue kind of nation. And I know that we have approved here in the United States and Louisiana a number of natural gas, liquefied natural gas terminals.
Cool.
Yeah, and that means we're going to export, but it's going to take a number of years. Don't think it's going to happen overnight. It won't. But it's going to take a number of years. And we are finding more and more and more natural gas here in the U.S., and so we need a market for it, and we have one. It's going to be Europe and in Asia. It's going to be both those places.
Sure.
So I think, you know, this is a natural LNG carrier, so they have to pick up gas and go deliver it. Their earnings are growing fast, and so are the sales.
They are, exactly.
You want me to tell you why you're having a problem? I can always –
I sold it, but I couldn't figure out why it dropped.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Because it's expensive. You know, when a stock gets expensive compared to its fundamentals, even though the fundamentals are great, if there's any hiccup, and this is what happened. In the December quarter, sales grew 224%. But in the March quarter, we haven't got the most recent quarter yet, sales grew 162%. It was 224. Then it went to 162. And that happened to correspond right where the weakness came in. Back in April. Okay, it started to be weak. Then it spiked back up, and now it's coming down again because earnings season's rolling around. They're going to have their earnings again. I think investors are nervous. That's all. Remember, it's not a big company. It's a $2.1 billion company. It's a small cap. And the PE is still 39. That's pretty high.
Sure.
So any hiccup, what you're going to have to learn, if you're going to want to own this one, you're going to have to accept the volatility that's going to give you, you know. But if you look at it from a long-term perspective, it'll probably, it's got a good story about liquefied natural gas being shipped around the world. It does.
Sure.
Because that's going to just grow.
Okay. I guess I didn't expect a minor hiccup like that to drop the stock price.
It does that. If it was a cheap PE, you know, with the good valuations, it probably wouldn't. But since it was an expensive PE, you get that kind of hiccup. Okay?
Got it. Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call. That's GLOG. That's Gaslog Limited, everybody. Gaslog Limited. It's out of Monaco. Okay. The Fed had meetings, and they announced another cut in QE today, down to $25 billion. Now, I want you to know it was, what, $85 billion? Now it's down to $25. And I want you to realize that, you know, that is still very accommodative in the system. That's still goosing the system with liquidity, which we shouldn't be doing at this stage in our economy, in our recovery. And in fact, the Fed themselves said once the unemployment rate dropped to 6.5%, we will be contemplating raising interest rates. Well, we're at 6.1, and they haven't finished cutting QE, the quantitative easing. In other words, they haven't cut putting money in the system, let alone raising interest rates, which is maybe happen next year. You know, and I think, why is that the case? I don't understand why people are not concerned. Why is that not the case? Because the Fed is signaling that our economy is not as strong as it appears to be. Or else they would have cut QE a long time ago and started raising rates. They don't have the security, apparently, in their own mind that our economy can handle it. Now, one of the things they're doing is they're trying to manage the stocks, investors' expectations. They're trying to control the expectations of investors. They don't want to tank the stock market. They don't want to do anything that might upset it. But I understand that. But we now see inflation starting to increase. The PCE, their inflation gauge, is now at 2%. And they want it to be between 2 and 2.5%. But it was 1.4% a year ago. So if inflation starts picking up, remember, that's one of the battles they're supposed to fight, inflation. And they were worried about deflation not that long ago. It's very confusing times we're having. It's just not normal. It's just unusual. So the Fed cut by down to $25 billion. That reduces liquidity. And from 85 down to $25 billion a month. This is per month spending, buying bonds and mortgages. Well, who's taking over? Who's coming in to buy those? It's been the Chinese. They've increased their purchases by more than what they've cut because they want to reduce the value of their currency. They have their own problems to try to deal with. It's a complex world we live in, everybody. You got to think about what's going on. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. This is The Best Talk, and I'm Steve Beasley.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach InvestTalk right now.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber. And even though you listen after our daily production time, you can still be part of the discussion. Your questions and comments set the tone and the topics, so please participate. Just call 888-99-CHART anytime. And if you'd like to talk live to Steve and Justin, just make that call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time.
This is InvestTalk. As we move into the final segment of the day,
There's still time to reach in with your question. 888-99-CHART is how to do it right now.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Give us a call anytime. Here's a call that came in earlier.
This is Corey from Upland. I always listen to you guys on Stitcher Radio. Question about GLW, Corning Company. Wondering if it's a good stock to buy and when would be a good time to buy it and a good time to sell it. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Corning, GLW is a symbol, manufactures glass substrates for LCDs, optical fiber cables for communication, ceramic pollution control products, that kind of thing. Corning has been around forever, ever. They had pretty good numbers, but they were below expectations. So a couple of days ago, the stock went from 22, and today it's at 1987. So it went down, 10% in a couple of days. That's what happens when you disappoint earnings. And, it's kind of pricey. The five-year range for the P.E. ratio is 6 to 17, and even after this fall, it's 15. So it was right at the top, 17. Now, it's going to earn an increase of 22% earnings this year and 11% next year to $1.66. And sales growth has picked up strongly the last couple of quarters, up 26% and 25%. Before that, sales growth was kind of on the weak side. Shrinking 9%, up 1%, down, up 4%. It's kind of just, not too great. Not much debt, pays a 2% dividend. Mutual funds have been sellers for the last year. And it's interesting, in 2013, there were net buyers. There were inside buyers for this stock when it was around 12, 13. So there's a lot of interest when it's cheap by the insiders. Right now, 1987, it's still not cheap. I like Corning. I think it's got pretty good numbers, and I think it's very safe. It's a very solid company. I don't care. A little weak on a return on equity of 8%. That's pretty low. I like mine to be 17% or higher, and this is only 8, so it's a little weak on that. And cash flow is only $2 a share, so it's not strong either. So it's got its issues. However, if you want to buy it, it's a solid company. You'd still want to wait to see how long it missed its earnings numbers. So it's going to settle down here at some point. And I think you just wait for it to settle down. Let it trade sideways for a few days, weeks, a few weeks maybe. And when it starts to recover, you can pick it up. I just don't like buying stocks when they're in the midst of falling. It's fallen 2 days, giving back 10%. It's down 13 cents today. I'm not interested in buying it when it's not done falling. And it will probably bounce. You want to let it bounce, but then let it bounce and see where it bounces to. Then generally it will shake out going sideways for a while. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes there's a V bottom, but I don't think so in this case. That's Corning. GLW is a symbol. Corning. Corning Inc. Makes glass products, fiber optics, Gorilla Glass. On the phones, things like that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, forget the iPhone 6, which is coming out, and forget about the iWatch. I don't know if that's... I don't mean that they won't do very well. I think they'll do very well. I think they will. But I think there's something going on that could be a lot more impactful for the iPhone if they can get this done. Apple's been in talks with credit card companies. And they want to create a service that will allow users to pay for things using the phone. Now, this has been talked about for some time. But when Apple's in talks with credit card companies like Visa, American Express, those kind of guys, it's getting serious. And just think about that. If you don't need a credit card, all you need is your phone. You can think about what you buy with your phone now. But what if it also acts as a credit card? How far is away going to be, the phone is now going to be your wallet, okay? It's already your communication device, your camera, your phone, your music device, okay? Now it's going to be with an iWatch, maybe that device is going to be a health monitor. But the iPhone, what else is the iPhone going to do? It's going to continue to expand. Credit cards? Okay, how about... I see people at the airport using it all the time to get on the planes, using scanning their iPhone or their device on the scanners to like a boarding pass. It's going to be everything that we've been. It's going to be your everything. Thank you for listening today. This is Steve Peasley, and I'm with KPP Financial. We had a little technical difficulty, but I think we made it through okay. This is Invest Talk. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow. 888-99-CHARGE. Give me a call. Ask any questions over the night. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And thank you for listening to Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.